And so we thank him for this great privilege. You're visiting with us. Know that you're honored guests. We appreciate your presence. It's always good to have guests to come and to be with us. I understand that we have a very large group of sisters who have come from the Sugar Land Church of Christ, where Brother Peter Martin is the minister, and where Brother Beatty for years labored at this wonderful congregation. All of the sisters from Sugar Land, stand so I can see. Amen, amen, amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen, 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 amen. I wonder how those brothers singing back home, amen. You know, to have a service with just brothers, amen, amen. Now, I was just having fun. I am so excited about this quarter's theme, the body of Christ, disciples who show unity. And the key word is the word bonding. We have looked at the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and the hands and the feet of Christ as we speak to discipleship. But this quarter, we want to talk about the wonderful unity that is found in him. With that in mind, I want you to turn with me to a passage that I'm hoping will depict this great unity. Read very beautifully in your hearing today, but I want to read it again for emphasis' sake. That's Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and we'll go through verse number 31. And being let go, they went to their own companions. This is the New King James Version. And reported all that the chief priest and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. And said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things and the kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ? For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on these threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I want to use for a subject the benefits of the United Christian Movement. I know that's a lot. The benefits of the United Christian Movement. Now, the reason that I use the word movement is because of Acts 1 and verse 8, where the Christians who called by God are asked to take his message, beginning at Jerusalem, then going through Judea, Samaria, and then to the utmost part of the earth. So you and I are part of a movement that God intends to start one place, but it must spread and it must cover to other localities. So we are part of a movement. trying to gain people to this movement. I put emphasis on the word united because of the unity that this movement must have. Jesus prayed in John 17:20. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us. And he says that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. One of the staples of the Christian movement is unity. We have seen how love is one of the staples. We have seen how service is one of the staples. But God wants us to understand that if it's his movement, it must be a movement that reflects unity. And this unity is a unity that is, first of all, that which is complementary to the unity that's in the Godhead. And that means it mirrors that which is divine. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. And not only does it mirror the unity that is of the Godhead, but the unity that he's talking about is a unity that brings glory to God. And the reason that it brings glory to God is because you will not find this type of unity anywhere else in the world except in the body or the church of Christ. Now, this passage that I'm sharing with you, I'm dividing it into three points. The first point will come from verse 23, how that these men, and they're talking about Peter and John, who go back to their company. And I want to explain that. Now, the phrase that I want to use for verse 23 is fellowship. And I want you to understand that this great unity, this great movement, is one that depicts a fellowship that is so important. Now, the next point that I'm going to make is going to come from verse number 24, and I'm going to go through verse number 28. And the emphasis that I want to place on that part of the scripture is the faith of the Christian movement. The first one I want to deal with is the fellowship of the movement. The second is the faith of the Christian movement. And then from verse number 29 through verse number 31 or 32, I'm going to speak to the unity of the faithful mission of the church, fulfilling the faithful mission of the church. Now, we're going to talk about the fellowship first, the faith next, and then thirdly, the fulfilling of the mission of the church. Now, I am making this point that without the unity that God is asking for, you won't have a good fellowship. Without the unity that God is asking for, you will not have the kind of faith that God is going to require of his people. And thirdly, without the unity, we will not be able to fulfill the mission of the Lord. Now, as I deal with verse number 23, you need to, first of all, understand what has happened. The Christian movement has come to Jerusalem, and it is characterized by its great unity in fellowship. That's why in Acts chapter 2, the Bible said these all continue together, and the Bible says that they continued in the apostles' doctrine, and they continued in fellowship from house to house, and that brought glory to God. Now, when you get to chapter 3, you will find that Peter and John go up to the temple in order for prayer. They encounter a man who is laid at the gate called Beautiful, who who is lame. Peter and John give this man his ability to walk. They actually, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they heal this man. Now this man goes jumping and leaping in the temple, and everybody knows that this was the man who was lame at the gate. And they're wondering, how did this happen? Well, news came to the authorities, came to the high priest and the rulers of the people. And Peter and John are using this occasion to preach the gospel. The movement must be about preaching the gospel. It's about spreading the good news of the resurrection and its meaning to the world. Now, these rulers did not want these apostles, Peter and John, preaching in the name of Jesus. They wanted to shut down the movement. They wanted to crush the movement. And so they brought these two preachers into detention. They put them in custody. And while they were in custody, they determined what they were going to do. So they said, well, what we'll do is we will strongly threaten them. And once we threaten them and tell them they can't preach anymore in this man's name, then that ought to be enough. Well, Peter and John said, now, whether to obey you or obey God, you make that determination. But for us, we cannot help but to speak the things which we have seen and which we've heard. Now, immediately after the Sanhedrin let them go, guess where they went? They went immediately to their company and their companions, which are fellow Christians who are united in the movement of God. Now, I want you to see how important it is for a fellowship, for us to have a fellowship. Have, may I say it this way, your own company. When you get in trouble and when you are in need, it's good to be able to go to your own company, to go to your own companions, those that you are united with in order to carry out a will. Now, fellowship means sharing. Fellowship means partnership. These apostles, once they were threatened, they went immediately to the fellowship and they shared with the fellowship what they encountered. Now, here's what's good about having a united fellowship. Number one, a family can be a united fellowship. And if you have a family that's united, whenever you, as an individual, get in trouble, it's always good to be able to go back to your family and talk to your family and get encouragement from your family. Get what you need in order to keep persevering and moving forward from your family. You know, that's a good fellowship. That's a good place to be able to go. Another good fellowship would be a fraternity. You know, those who have joined fraternities, you know that that's a fellowship. And it's good to be able to call on your frat brother or your frat sister and know that you have something in common and you're going to get support when you need it. But I am here to tell you that out of all of the fellowships in the world, there is no fellowship to be compared to the fellowship of the people of God, the house of God, the church of our Lord. And the reason is because, number one, it's divine in nature. It is divine in nature, which means that God brought it into being. Another reason that it is really unique and wonderful is because of its spirituality that crosses over cultural lines. Here's what happens in this wonderful fellowship. Everybody who becomes a member of this fellowship, they are the products of one body. I'm going to Ephesians 4 and verse number 4. They are one body. They are of one spirit. They are of one hope. They are of one Lord. And they are of one faith. They are of one baptism. And they are of one God.
who is Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Now, you may have a family, but the question is, do they have this kind of undergirding? Do they have this kind of association? God wants us to know that the uniqueness of his fellowship is the fact that it is God-given. It is God, amen, produced. And because of that, you and I are able to not only have fellowship on this earth, but we are able to have fellowship even after this life. And once we get out of this life, we'll have fellowship eternally. Your family won't take you there. Your fraternity won't take you there. Your business fellowship won't take you there. But only God, through the church, can get you out of this world into the next world and continue that wonderful and marvelous fellowship. So I want you to understand that Peter and John knew that they were part of a movement. They were part of a wonderful united Christian body. So immediately when they got in trouble, that's where they turned to. I'm saying to you, when you get in trouble, being part of the church, being part of this fellowship, you ought to come to the church. Amen. Amen. You ought to find support here at the church. You ought to find encouragement here at the church. That's when we're united in the same purpose. Now, I can say this about my own family. When I was growing up, when I got in trouble, I'm going to tell you, I had no problem going home. Even though I knew I was going to get a whipping, I still wanted to go home. And the reason I wanted to go home is because I knew if anybody loved me, if anybody was going to take care of me, they were going to take care of me at home. Now, I didn't appreciate the way my mother took care of things, because my mother would use an extension cord. And she would just hit you, you know, because I'm running. And so she just hit you wherever she could catch you. And so I'd get all up under the bed. I'd run and get under the bed. And she's throwing, switching under there. And I'm moving and moving, moving. Even the bed moved. Amen. I'm just being honest about it. I ran from my mother. But my daddy was different. My daddy, you know, would say, "Now, Shelton, I need you to get across the bed." He was that 6'4", and so, you know, those big old hands. And so I said, "I don't think I'm going to run from him." And so I laid across that bed. He said, "Now be still, because I'm going to hit you." And he said, I know where I'm going to hit you. But if you start all that moving, no telling where I may hit you. Amen. So, in other words, he was a disciplinarian. My mother was a disciplinarian. But in spite of that, I knew that I was going to get the greatest encouragement that I would ever receive. And that's because of the fellowship that was there. My daddy was not a person who would be condemning. He always understood me. He always tried to bring out the best in me. One day I came home with a D on my report card. And my mother said, "Wait till your daddy gets here." And when my daddy came in, my daddy looked at the report card and he said, Shelton. He said, you don't know the material?" And I said, I couldn't say anything. I don't know what I said. But anyway, he said, "Shelton, I just believe you can do better than this." And just the way he looked at it, the disappointment on his face, man, let me tell you something. That encouraged me more than anything. And guess what? The next semester, I did not bring. Next 6 weeks, I didn't bring home a D. I think I made a C, but I'm making improvement. I'm not. But see, the way that he dealt with me, I'm talking about the fellowship. See, when you come into the Lord's church, and if it's unified, and everybody is sharing and trying to help one another, you ought to be able to come here and be encouraged. You ought not find more encouragement outside. You ought not find more encouragement out there in the street. You ought to be able to come right here in the house of God and know that you're going to leave here with encouragement to keep moving forward. And I hope that's the way that you feel. Now, the next point that I want to make is that this unity is not only in this wonderful fellowship that encouraged Peter and John and is supposed to encourage you and I, but it's a fellowship that is based on faith in God. Now, I want you to help me upstairs, and I need you to put on the screen Acts chapter 4, and I want to look at verse number 24. And it won't take me long because I spent more time on the first point than I'm going to spend on the second and the third. Now watch this now. We're talking about faith now. Now remember, the Sanhedrin and the rulers of Jerusalem are threatening Peter and John and the whole church. And so watch what they do. Watch their faith. Now watch the unity of their response. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with what? With what? With one accord. Now, that's important because you and I need to see that whole fellowship recognize that we're involved in a situation where we're going to have to turn to God. And so in prayer, they came together and they turned their voice to God with one accord. And watch what they said. Lord, you are God. Now, I know what they're trying to do uptown. I know what they're trying to do to your fellowship. But I want you to know God. They're talking to God now. That you are God. Sanhedrin's not God. The rulers are not God. You are God. Well, why are you God? You made the what? Heaven. You made the what? Earth. You made the what? Sea. And now, when they look at God and that great God and compare that great God to that little old group of men up there at City Hall in Jerusalem, amen, they know that they have made not one heaven, they have made not one earth, and they sure have made any sea. And so for them, they're putting their faith and their confidence in whom? God. God is where they turn to. And they did it as a group in one accord. I'm telling you, there's power when the whole church, listen to me, there's power when the whole church is in tune to God. Oh, that's a powerful thing. Amen, amen, amen. But keep reading. Go to the next verse. Hurry right quick. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Now I want you to see something else. Not only did they turn to God, but they now turn into his word. They're turning to the scriptures. And the scripture that they are turning to is Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Don't go there yet. Don't go there yet. But I want you to see something. Now they're taking excerpts from that psalm. And they're quoting it. Why did the nations rage and the people plot? What kind of things? Watch the next verse. Verse 26. All right. The kings of the what? Took their what? And the rulers were what? But who are they gathered together against? And against is what? Now, watch the unity. They are in unison and in unity, believing in God, trusting God's word. The enemies are in unity against the Lord and against his Christ. Please ask me, why should we all stick together? Because if the devil is going to gather together all of his men in unity against you, amen, walks in life. Brothers and sisters, we ought to stick together, stay together to fight the devil. Am I right? Oh, no. You can't deal with him by yourself. The devil is smart. Devil. Watch the next verse. Hurry right quick. I'm almost through. For truly against your holy servant Jesus. They're not fighting against us. They're fighting against Jesus, whom you anointed. Watch this. Both Herod, Pontius Pilate never got along until Jesus came. Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentile and the people of Israel were gathered what? Together. Man, when you get Herod, Pontius Pilate, Gentile, and Israel, Gentiles and Jews never got along. But when it came to crucifying Jesus, they got together. You and I can't deal with this world by ourselves because the devil is getting his entourage together. Now watch verse number 28. I'm almost through. Now this is what I really like. Now this verse really caught me. Because I said it seemed like it doesn't fit. When you read verse 27, how they all came together, Pilate, Herod, then the Gentiles and the Jews came together against your holy child. This verse didn't, it caught me off guard. It said, to do whatsoever your hand. And I kept asking myself, whose hand are they talking about? To do whatsoever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. They're talking to God. So here's what they're saying. In verse number 28, this is what they're saying. They're saying that what they did in verse 27, they did it because you allowed it to happen. You determined it to happen. It was your purpose that it be done. The crucifixion of Christ didn't just happen by itself. The Lord God put that together. Are you with me? So if the Lord did it, why should I be concerned about it? If the Lord allowed my enemies to do what they did to me, why should I be concerned about it? Can't nobody do something unless God give them. Well, can't anybody do anything unless God allows them? God is the God of the heavens and the earth and all of the sea and everything that's therein. I'm almost through. Verse number 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Well, I'm moving into point number three. But here's what I want you to understand. And that is that by them being unified, that it was a blessing to them. And their unity in their belief in God, their unity in trusting the scripture is really what brought them through this situation. Now, I want to deal with the verse number 29, my last point, and then I'll let you go. Watch this now. Now, Lord. Now that we have assessed the situation, now that we know you're in control, but we hear what they're saying, but we know who's got us. Now, Lord, look on their threats, but watch what they say. Grant to your servants, us, that with all boldness, it's talking about Peter and John more specifically, they may speak your word. Watch this now. Now, right here, what is the movement's purpose? The movement's purpose is to preach the word of God. Start in Jerusalem, go through Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. What does the enemy want to do? The enemy wants to stop it. Now, with what they have done, it's a possibility that they may stop it if they don't have the right attitude. But when they say, grant to your servant that with all boldness, they may speak your word. In other words, in spite of what has happened, in spite of all of their negativity, in spite of their threats, God, what we need is some boldness. Watch verse 30. I'm through. By stretching out your hand to do what? That signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. In other words, you prove through the healing of that lame man that you are a God of power and of strength, and through your signs and your wonders, don't let the devil stop it. Don't let those folks stop it. Give them the power to keep on preaching. Keep on healing, God. Verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was what? Where they were assembled together was what? And they were all what? Now, whoa, you missed something. They prayed for Peter and John. But when God gave the blessing, They were what? All filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. God is a good God. Well, there's a whole lot of good stuff here. Something else I wanted to say. I know, but I'm going to tell you, if you haven't gotten what I've already said, I don't think if I preach another 30 minutes, you're going to get any more. I've said enough. I'm telling you something. You know what they did? Let me show you what they did. They put their concern on hold. Substituted their concern for God's agenda. That's a whole lot of meaning in that. When you can put your agenda aside and ask God to bless his agenda. Example. My agenda is I'm sick. God's agenda, I want the gospel preached. Well, God, you got the power to take care of me and deal with my sickness. But what I need is some power in my sickness to be bold and to keep on preaching, keep on teaching, keep on healing. When you can take your situation and in spite of it, carry out God's agenda. Somebody say, well, I need God to fill me. I need God to help me. Get your agenda in line with God's agenda. God will put some boldness in your life. He'll put some power in your life. Our problem is that we're the type of people, instead of us looking at the whole and looking at everybody and wanting to be involved with everybody, it's all about us. Poor me, woe me, woe is me. But it's not about just you. It's about us being unified together in this wonderful fellowship, this wonderful movement of God. And whatever we do, I don't care what the world does, we are in a movement. We're trying to win people to Christ. And don't you let your personal situations stop us from winning souls to Jesus Christ. In spite of where you are, whatever's going on in your life, you better keep on preaching and keep on teaching and watch what God will do in your life. God is a good God. You know, right along here, I want to go to Isaiah 40. I did. I wanted to talk about they that wait on the Lord. But I've already made my point. Now listen. All right. Now listen. Here's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you this story. I thought it was a good story, but I want you to listen to it. A man came across a little old tiny pygmy. You know, a man is a pygmy. He's real small. You with me? And this little old tiny pygmy was standing on top of a rhinoceros, and the rhinoceros was dead. I mean, this big old violent rhinoceros dead, and this little tiny pygmy standing on top of him. So the man was curious. He said, did you kill that? He said, yes. He said, well, how did you kill it? He said, with my club. Man was still curious. With your club? Well, how big is your club? He said, oh, it's about 100 of us in my club. What's your point, preacher? Here's my point. Some of us trying to fight the devil and fight the enemy, and you're too small. You need a club. May I offer you a good club? And that's the Christian club, where God will help you to fight your battle. If you don't know this Jesus and you haven't participated in this great unity of the body of Christ, you're missing out on a blessing. I'm asking you, get in Christ. Get in the fellowship of Christ. Stay in the fellowship of Christ. Be concerned about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Y'all put you all's agenda behind God's agenda. Make your agenda fit into God's agenda. And God will shake the place. He'll shake your home. He'll shake your life. And he'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. And he'll keep you moving and keep you focused on really what's important. We're trying to make heaven our home. And I hope and pray that we'll never let the devil take us off of our path. May God bless you. That's my lesson. I'm talking about the great benefits that you and I have in a united Christian movement. And you stay in this movement. If you want to become a part of this movement, you come by hearing the gospel, which I preached today. Believe it with all of your heart. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be buried with him. Well, first of all, repent of your sin and confess Christ to be the Son of God. And then be buried with him in the water grave of baptism. Baptism will put you into this wonderful club, this wonderful, wonderful fellowship. And you stay faithful in this fellowship. You be unified with your brothers and sisters in this fellowship. And one day God will welcome you into that greater fellowship which is in heaven. May God bless you to come. You need this kind of security in your life. I'm asking you to come. Receive it right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Or you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace?
Water.
In the blood of the Lamb.